الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولذكر الله أكبر، صدق الله المولانا العظيم. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم، مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. Let us all read Durood Sharif inshallah. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وقال الله تعالى: وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين، صدق الله المولانا العظيم. الحمد لله، Allah's great great fazl during such times, during such in such places, Allah Ta'ala has gathered us all together for one thing, and that is the pleasure of Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala. How we can please Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala, and that is really the purpose for which Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala has sent us in this world, that we must please and make Allah Ta'ala happy. The one ayat of the Quran Sharif I've recited, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, O Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for a reminder is always beneficial for the believers. So it is a reminder for oneself also. The speaker is reminded himself first, because his ears are the closest to his mouth, and what he speaks, he has to think about it. We can be sitting and perhaps daydreaming, or perhaps we are sitting and during the day we are night dreaming. Somebody might fall asleep and he's dreaming in his sleep, so we might don't pay full attention. But the person who is speaking, he has to pay full attention. So he benefits also, and everyone else also benefits. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala let us benefit from his kalam and from his pure teachings, and Allah ta'ala brings this into our lives, and that we earn the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The ayat kareema I've recited, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The greatest thing is the dhikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Under normal circumstances, conditions, the dhikr of Allah is the greatest ibadah that Allah ta'ala has given, which Allah ta'ala himself says that the greatest amal is the dhikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Hazrat Salman Farisi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was asked on one occasion that which is the greatest amal in Islam. So he said, don't you read the Quran Sharif, the book of Allah? Allah categorically states, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that the zikr of Allah is the greatest thing. May Allah Ta'ala let us realize and understand this, and give us the tawfiq of remembering Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala. And as we will mention inshaAllah, this does not mean that we have to curtail, or we have to lower or do less of any other work. But with everything, we bring the zikr of Allah Ta'ala with. And then that is the greatest amal which Allah Ta'ala has given us. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that there is no amal that saves a person more from the azab of Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala than the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And to save one from the azab of Allah Ta'ala, yeah, he has left it open, even the azab in this world. When we say sometimes due to our actions, then Allah Ta'ala's azab comes down. But to save ourselves from that azab is the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. In the qabr, may Allah help us. If there it is a difficult situation, it's an extremely difficult situation. On the day of Qiyamah, what the conditions will be? يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. What will be the conditions? Allah make hifazat. May Allah let us understand. Allah has blessed us with all the teachings of what is going to happen in the future also. May Allah protect us. But to save ourselves from all that azab, the azab of Jahannam, how severe that will be, to save us all from all that is the zikr of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So one sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked, walal jihadu fi sabilillah, is not jihad also so great an amal? Is the zikr of Allah even more greater? What did Hazrat Muaz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said? He says not even jihad. Like Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam personally, with regard to other occasions, also said that the zikr, at that moment, that this amal is more greater than jihad also in the path of Allah ta'ala. Then Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu went on to explain that if a person goes in jihad and he fights so much that his sword also breaks, still the zikr of Allah ta'ala is a greater amal. May Allah put it into our hearts to understand how great, in the words of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there is no amal that can save a person more from the punishment of Allah ta'ala in the qabr than the zikr of Allah ta'ala. So with all this, and the Quran Sharif has got so many ayats, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, says that in the Quran Sharif, the amount of times that Allah has emphasized zikr of Allah Ta'ala, that at every time you finish your Jummah, when you come in for Jummah namaz, fas'aw ila zikrillah. When you have finished your Jummah namaz, then again Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, go and do your business, whatever, but don't forget the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. At the time of Hajj, Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ, when you go from Arafat, then make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. In Mina, make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. When you make a salat of khawf, of fear, that is one particular namaz which takes place on the battlefield. But when you finish your namaz, then make the zikr of Allah. Namaz was the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. But again, make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So much it is emphasized. So the zikr of Allah Ta'ala is extremely important. And to save ourselves from the azab of the qabr is also the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we should be very particular about the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu further explains that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, a sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked that which jihad is the most virtuous and has got the most benefit. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that jihad in which the zikr of Allah Ta'ala takes place. So jihad is on its place, but the zikr of Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala. He asked further that with regard to namaz, salat, with regard to saum, fasting, with regard to hajj, with regard to zakat, all a'mal, he asked, which is the most virtuous? In which way must we do it? What must we do so that we can get the maximum returns? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in which the most zikr of Allah ta'ala takes place. For example, in these a'mal, namaz is also included, salat. And namaz, the whole of namaz, aqimi salata li dhikri, establish your salah for my remembrance. So whole of salah is also zikr of Allah. But yeah, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that namaz that has got the most zikr of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. For example, we read three times Subhana Rabbiyal A'la in our ruku. A person reads five times, that namaz is going to be much more virtuous. In sajda, we read three times Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, that is virtuous. But we increase it to five, seven times, especially our nawafil. Allah give us tawfiq of tahajjud, of other nafil namazes. And that namaz that has got more the zikr of Allah, that namaz, that salat is more virtuous. And then when this whole discussion completed, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu looked at Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and he said, Aba Hafs, the father of Hafsa, Aba Hafs, that it looks like the people who make the zikr of Allah in great abundance, they have taken all the goodness. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said, Ajal, yes, that is true. So how valuable is not the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? And it is very important to bring zikr of Allah ta'ala in our homes.
to bring the zikr of Allah Ta'ala in our cars, in our businesses. And what to say about our masajid when we go out in khuruj, in jamaat, how much of zikr Allah Ta'ala we should be making. And the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahab Rahmatullah Ali says that wherever we find problems in our deeni work, it's because of the lack of zikr. Then our connection with Allah Ta'ala has become less. And that is why then we sit with very many problems. If we make our zikr regularly, Allah's rahmat descends. And we know, we read fadhaili zikr regularly, all the great virtues of the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Now further, I wish to explain a point, but I would like everyone to pay attention properly. It's not difficult to understand, and I'll try and make it as simple as possible, and inshallah, we all will understand. That is, one thing is our body, which Allah has given all of us a body. It is made of two main components. It's the body and the ruh, the soul. If the body is not there, where is the soul going to be? The body has to be there. And if the soul is there, no body, it can't work also. The body also has to be there, the soul also has to be there. But of the two, what would you say, which is the more important, the body or the soul? What do you feel, which is more important? The soul is more important. Because the minute if a child is still born, that means the ruh didn't come in that child. Then we don't have a joyous occasion. There is no aqiqah. There is no all the people getting happy. Instead, it's a sad occasion. We're preparing for janaza namaz for the small baby. And now we have to take the baby to the qabristan. But if the ruh is there, then that is life in that body. Please pay attention to me. When we are the speaker is speaking, give the full attention there. And what I want to speak, I want to try and explain. And if our minds are going to be going this way and that way, then we might not understand, and when we don't grasp, we might not get the full benefit. So when the bayan is carrying on, whoever the speaker is, always pay full attention. So the soul with regard to the body, an example, is like a precious diamond. A precious gem, a stone worth millions and billions. But in what is it kept? In the jewelry box. The jewelry box will also be accordingly. But what is the valuable thing? The jewel, the diamond, or the jewelry box? The diamond is important. The jewelry box is just to keep it in. But the diamond, the gem, that is important. So like that, our ruh, our soul, that is important. And the box that is there, the body, we have to make a suitable. Allah made it for us. And that is also suitable, and we have to look after it also. But the real important thing is the diamond. And our ruh, everyone's ruh, whether he's born in Africa or Asia, in America or Europe, Australia or Japan, wherever he's born, the ruh is the important thing. The body, completes its journey, which we say that mort has come, death has come. Then we go and bury the body. Before we bury the body, the soul has departed. And it's going on its journey. It carries onward its journey. The body is finished now, but the soul carries on. And whatever is going to happen, happens on the soul then. So it is very important that our ruh, our soul, we realize how important it is. Anyway, for this body, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, how great Allah ta'ala is, that he has made the body in the womb of the mother. And there Allah ta'ala made it in a period of about 4 months, 4 months, 10 days. Then this body is made in the womb of the mother, but there is still no life. And that formation of this body is also fantastic. It shows the great qudrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that this factory, which is Allah's factory, which is the womb of the mother, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِّن بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ. That Allah ta'ala has يَخْلُقُكُمْ. Allah keep on creating you people. Not one time one body Allah made. No, Allah ta'ala keeps on making mankind. And here is an interesting point also, that Allah Ta'ala has used the word, the verb, fa'al mudari, which means continuously, yakhluqukum. On the other hand, we have to clear our minds, which is very important in these days, We have the real stupid theory, Darwin's theory of evolution, that man was born from a monkey, that the monkey was, it was itching him a lot at a very awkward place of his body, and then he scratched it on a little stone or rock, and then the tail fell off. And then slowly he stood up, and over time, evolution, he became a human being. Our Shaykh, Rahmatullah Ali, gave such a beautiful answer to this, that if one monkey till today could become a human being, then in the history of the monkeys till today, why didn't another monkey also become a human being? If you got 5-6 children, 1-2 can become Hafiz, others also become Hafiz. Your daughters also become Hafiz. One becomes a doctor, another one can also become a doctor, and they become also. So if one monkey till today could become a human being, why hasn't other monkeys become human beings? And today this is being taught in our schools, and it's very important that we clear the minds of our children. Very, very important that we have a connection with our children, and we see what is going inside them. And usually what the Maulisab teaches, Maulana gives bayan on Jummah, what the parents also will say, the children don't want to accept it so easily. But what the teacher says in the school, they take that as gospel truth. And we are not countering it at all. And at the very tender young ages, these children are exposed to it and they accept it as such. It is within them. And a person who has got that belief, that aqidah, that my forefathers were monkeys, then they're very dangerous. Because Allah Ta'ala says, Allah didn't just make one human being, Adam alayhi salam. Yakhluqukum. Continuously Allah Ta'ala is making human beings. According to present day statistics, 250,000 babies are born a day in the world. So in other words, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is supplying 500,000 eyes every day, and free of charge. If we go for this little operation, a cataract, you go for your glasses, how much doesn't it cost you? But Allah gives free of charge 2 original eyes from His treasure box to all the children, Muslims and non-Muslims. Throughout the world, His friends also He gives, His enemies also He gives. Everyone, every day, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is giving 500,000 two little lips. And how beautiful the small lips are of the little child. 500,000 ears, 500,000 hands, 500,000 lips per day. And generally, overall, everything is perfect in the system of Allah Ta'ala. One time, a Canadian doctor wrote a book, and which is taught in the university medical schools till today. He wrote a book on how the human child is formed in the womb of the mother. And according to medical knowledge which they've got, saunas, etc., and all the other x-rays and everything else they have, he wrote the full detail how a child is formed. And then at the end he appealed to any person in the world, if you can give us more information of how a child is formed in the womb of the mother, but not from medical sources. He says that we have got ourselves, we have got more than enough. A Malaysian doctor wrote to him, and he wrote the references of the Quran Sharif. And the references of the Quran Sharif are not 1-2, are not ambiguous, are not difficult to understand. He wrote a few references of the Quran Sharif. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. All these references he wrote. That person, when he studied that, he became a Muslim. And he has written further also. So how Allah Ta'ala has created this human being. If we have to ponder into it, we will get amazed. Allah Ta'ala Himself says in the Quran Sharif, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. You want to see Allah. You look in yourself. The greatest proof of the existence of Allah, the greatest proof of the oneness of Allah, the greatest proof of the qudrat of Allah is you yourself, insan. Who made you? Did your father make you? Did your mother make you? Does your mother know how to make eyes? Does your father know how to make a liver? Does your father know how to make tendons? Does your grandfather know how to make a nose? Who knows how to make taste buds? Who made all this? It's one wahdahu la sharik. Zalikumullah rabbukum fa'budu. That is your one Allah. So worship only Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala has created this insan in what a magnificent way. And we just have to ponder about ourselves and we'll see the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala in us, outside us. You close your eyes, you will see Allah Ta'ala. You open your eyes, you will see Allah Ta'ala. Everywhere Allah Ta'ala is present. It's just a matter of connecting ourselves, going out in jamaat, and we listen to the bayans, and we listen to the man of Allah, the ulama, how they explain from the Quran Sharif, no other source, the Quran Sharif, that how Allah Ta'ala has made this human being. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to give beautiful examples of this. Hazrat should say that when a child is born, it's got no teeth in its mouth. Children haven't got teeth. Then slowly the milk teeth come. And after that, the original real teeth come. And that was also a great system and great wisdom of Allah Ta'ala. If the teeth had to come when the child was born, at that time already, and the child suckles on the mother, is breastfed by the mother for about 2 years. And on that delicate part of the body, if the child has to bite the mother, how much pain won't she go through? So see the wisdom of Allah for the 2 years about so that there are no teeth. And then when the teeth start growing, they come to a certain level and then they stop growing. And if our lifestyle and our eating habits are correct, the teeth in the mouth without braces. Somebody said that today the crime condition is so serious that we have to put burglar bars on our teeth also. Otherwise they'll steal your teeth. All the braces are like burglar bars. So even that we have to put burglar bars for. Anyway, so the teeth, if we eat right, we live right, and we look after the hygiene, dental mouth, our hygiene and dental condition, then the teeth will grow like pearls in the mouth. Today we think we are very advanced. We got dentists, we got orthodontists, and we got what and what. And the people in rural areas, I wonder what they do. If they got a tooth problem, they got no dentist there. They don't need a dentist. Their eating habits are so good that their teeth are perfect. They don't need a dentist. Our candy that we eat, bubble gum all the time, the mouth is just moving. Everyone, not only small children, grown-ups also, mouth is moving. Fingers are on the cell phone all the time. And this is our problem. Anyway, these people, when the teeth grows, then it comes to a certain level and stops. If we had to think and if we had to make this baby, the mother and father, then we will say when the child is 1 year old, the tooth must be 1 millimeter. And then every year 1 millimeter it must grow. When the child becomes 10 years old, 10 millimeters, 1 centimeter, the bottom tooth, the top tooth, 1 centimeter. And round about the age of 20, 25, then boys and girls get married usually. So now the teeth are 2.5 centimeters. The top one and the bottom one. And like 1 inch teeth. And now the boy, which is sunnat also, should have a glance at the girl, see how she is, and the girl should see him. And from that, the sunnat, Allahu Akbar, how much is kept in that, they will be able to see their compatibility. They don't have to court one another. They don't have to go out with one another. That is more than sufficient from Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam system. And whoever marries in that way, that is almost a guaranteed marriage that lasts. And all these other types of marriage, love marriages, before the nikah, everything is done. Then there is nothing left after nikah but talaq now. Then they want to give divorce. So anyway, now when that boy goes and see that girl, and she has got this big teeth on the top and the bottom, and usually at that time they smile also a little bit. So the boy will run away from one door, the girl will run away from another door. That's so big teeth, it looks like a bulldozer that works on the road. And my father is getting me married to a bulldozer, or to who is he getting me married? But look at Allah's system. The teeth come to a certain level and then they stop growing. And for the rest of the life they are like that. If they had to carry on until the age of 80 and they become now 8 centimeters the bottom tooth and the top tooth 8 centimeters, and Nanima and Nanabaji, Dadabaji, grandparents, they love their grandchildren and they say, come here my darling, I want to speak to you. Where will he come near? Like that also they don't want to come near the old people. They got their own friends, etc. But with this big, big teeth, They will think he's a wolf sitting here and he's going to eat me up. What is the qudrat of Allah? How Allah Ta'ala has made this human being. Fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqeen. How beautiful is the creation of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. No mother ever, and if there is somebody, they can come and report, but no mother ever sees the engineer coming to see if the child is formed properly. The hands are the same length, etc. The feet are the same length, etc. No architect comes and see whether the builder is building correctly, the contractor is doing his work correctly, but that baby is formed 100% correctly. The two hands are together, the same size, the two legs. It isn't that one leg is 1 meter long and the other leg is 1 foot and we are hopping and walking. How should we have been? How Allah Ta'ala has made us. And the whole human body Allah Ta'ala has made. Whether it's an African child, whether it's an Asian child, whether it's a European child, whether it's a Muslim child, whether it's a non-Muslim child, everyone, look at the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So this Allah Ta'ala makes in the womb of the mother, Allah makes this beautiful child. But till 4 months and 10 days roughly, there is no life in this child. It can't do anything. Then Allah Ta'ala puts the ruh, puts the soul, and that is the strength of this child now, his power. Now he starts moving. Now when the mother goes to the gynecologist for a checkup, they will ask, do you feel movements in your womb now, in your stomach? And now there are movements. Life has come now. Till before that, there is no life in there. What I want to illustrate here, please pay attention, is that this child, this human being, now when it is born, we commonly find that the child eats, we start giving it milk, food, we introduce it to food, light foods, etc. And then normally the children are healthy, normally. Later on, by the age of 40, 50, then they start getting sick. And today at younger ages, now we need medicine, we need supplements, etc. But if we eat right, then we don't need anything. See, if a child is born, when the parents, mother and father, drank Zamzam water of Makkah Sharif, and they nurtured the child like Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, where he was grown up with Zamzam water, then what do we get? A Makki child. That will be a Makki. He will have those habits and those qualities. If the parents were eating khajur, dates of Madinatul Munawwara, then, and they grew up the child with the dates, that means that environment of Madinatul Munawwara of the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will be a Madani. And if they ate junk food, and they grow him up with junk food also, then what will he be? He'll be a junkie. And if that is what we got today, then why we blame the children? We gave them junk food. We introduced them. So now, then we need more medicine now. Otherwise, a person doesn't really need medicine. We still meet some people, they say, I'm 80 years old. Till today, I didn't take one Panado. I didn't take one tablet. But very, very rare. What we hear more, I have to take 20 tablets. I have to take 25 tablets. I have to go for chemo. I have to go for dialysis. I have to do this. I have to do that. All the time we have got problems. Our lifestyle is far from the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But so now we need medicine. If we don't take medicine, then we can't carry on. We need food also. We need medicine also. That is our body. The same way. Understand this also. May Allah put this understanding in me first and foremost. That the ruh that comes, which we all have agreed is the most important, is the diamond, is the gem, not the jewelry box, this body of ours. But the jewel which is most important, it comes from Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. It comes pure and clean. And it is attached with Allah Ta'ala, with Alam-e-Malakut, the above skies, and where there is only purity, that is how the ruh comes. But for about 5 months roughly, that ruh stays in the company of this body, in the womb of the mother. And this body of ours, this nafs, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala himself says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We have put into it, and first Allah Ta'ala has mentioned fujur, which is sin, and for us to understand, which is poison. That Allah Ta'ala has put, Allah mentions that first. In fact, a question arises here. when Allah is mentioning, why did Allah put vice and evil and poison first before taqwaha, the taqwa of a person? Because until a person does not have a desire of committing sin, he cannot stop himself from committing sin. Like the malaika, the angels, they got no desire of sin. One time, one person, he said he was about 50 years old at that time. He said, till today, I never got a traffic fine for speeding, indicators, seat belt, parking, nothing. I never got a fine. All was surprised. 50 years he's driving and not one fine. He said, I never drove a car. So if you never drove a car, how are you going to get a fine? So in the same way, if we haven't got desire of committing sin, then how can we become a wali of Allah? That desire has to be there, but don't commit the sin. That is the test from Allah Ta'ala. If there was no desire, everyone should become a friend of Allah. Everyone should become pious. So don't be afraid of the desires, but control the desires. Don't give vent to them. For that Allah Ta'ala has given us a means to choose. And that is the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So this body, now it is influenced, the ruh is influenced there 5 months already. So when the child comes into this world, we see commonly many children, almost all the little children, when they have their toys, etc., they are very selfish. They don't want to share it with anyone. Some visitors come and those children want to play. They grab the toys and they keep it to them. And they don't want to. That's a bad quality the child has got. The child is very, very abusive. He grows up also. The child is very, very... He wants his way in everything. And that is pride the child has got. He puts up his tantrums and he screams and he wants his way. So it is necessary from there already. This is a thing where we are also very much negligent. Allah forgive us all and let us correct the things. That the child must be corrected from there already. And he must be put on the right road. But because we don't do that, and in fact we tell the child is very cheeky, and we are happy the child is cheeky. We are happy the child is stingy. We are happy the child has got all other bad qualities. So how will the child come upright? Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib says, when he was about a 2-3 year old child, he had a little pillow which he liked very much. And he should always say, Mera Sakya, my pillow. One day his father gave him a slap and told him, you're hardly earning and you're already saying mine. So it is, these habits must be taken out from the children. Mothers of before, Allahu Akbar, they should not regard their children as my children, as our children. They should regard the children as the ummah's children. They are an amanat of the ummah. They are going to represent the ummah. They're going to be the torch bearers of the ummah, the flag bearers of the ummah, our children. So if we grow up our children with that in mind, but today what is it? That it is just a worry of the stomach. Must get education, you must earn money, must earn big money, you must live it up. That is what our worry is. They did not bring up their children. Consequently, we find in one place, Kanpur, the enemies, non-Muslims, wanted to burn, destroy a masjid. 8-10 year old children went and gave their lives to save the masjid. They were brought up that we are for the ummah, we are for the deen, we are for our masajid, we are for the Muslim people, we are not for ourselves. But today, each one of us, myself, all of us, we just think about ourselves. May Allah bring it that we can understand this. So anyway, this ruh that is influenced by the body, it comes like this. Now if we don't train the child in the right way, and in fact today we are training the child in the wrong way. We are taught that you must not have pride. And in the schools, etc., they say you must have pride in everything. So the opposite is being taught. Here we are taught to forgive, there they are taught to take revenge. Here we are taught to be humble, there they are taught to be proud. Here we are taught to be truthful, there they say you can lie, you can do anything as long as you get away with it. And all those opposite things. So for all that, Allah Ta'ala has given the food of the ruh also. And the food of the ruh, one is food, and the one is medicine. The food of the ruh is what Allah Ta'ala has made for us. Our namaz, our roza, our zakat. But if we are not feeding the ruh, what will happen? The ruh becomes weak, becomes helpless. It can't do anything. Just like the body, if we don't eat, one meal we didn't have, 2 meals, 5 meals we didn't have, we become very weak. So the ruh also becomes weak. So the food is also required. And when these diseases have come in the ruh from the body, then the medicine is also required. If we're not applying the medicine, there are many medicines. One particular medicine for all of us is the zikr of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, to remember Allah Ta'ala. That is very, very important. If we engage in our zikr, and this is for every human, for every Muslim in the world, that every one of us, we have to take out time to make the zikr of Allah. The name of Allah is a purifier. For example, this glass, if it's dirty, and I want to wash it, clean it, what will I do? I'll use water to clean it, and I fill water to drink after that. The same way, when our hearts have become so dirty, the greatest purifier of it is the name of Allah. When we put Allah's name into our hearts, the hearts will get purified. And when they are purified, then put the name of Allah again in that heart and build your connection. Recognize Allah Ta'ala. Have a connection, love of Allah Ta'ala. And then the obedience of Allah will become a pleasure and will become a joy to a person. May Allah Ta'ala bring this within us. And then those of us who are engaged in any type of deeni work, whether it is we go out in jamaat, etc., in jamaat work, or whether we are teaching in a madrasa, a maktab, a darul ulum, or whether we are doing any other type, social welfare work, all this work, we need much more than the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And when we don't have that, that is when we also have problems, then such things come on our tongues that nobody listens. We're telling the people, they don't listen. People, when we tell them, they become angry on us. No, if we do it the right way, and we got that energy within us, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, people will listen. Eh? For example, an aeroplane, when it takes off, it needs a lot of fuel. And when it's flying, it has reached its height, now it's just cruising. Now it needs very little fuel. But to take off, it needs a lot of fuel. So we also, whoever is doing any type of deeni work, one is a person, he's just doing for himself, he's making his namaz, he also needs zikr. But those people who are doing any type of deeni work, they need much more the zikr of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayh wrote to one of his murids, who started a madrasa, he says, unless you don't take out at least 2 hours a day for the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, that is tilawat, dua, etc., nawafil, tahajjud, he says, your madrasa cannot run. It won't run correctly. The spirit of it won't come. It will be just a building. The students will just get information. But what the purpose of ilm is, that won't come. Today we all have got problems in our deeni work. Everywhere we are facing this. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to cry and say, it is the lack of taking the name of Allah Ta'ala. That we are not remembering Allah. We all want to be united. We all want to be one body. We all want to be together. And the solution to that is only the name of Allah. Not that I'm right. Not that you are right. Not that we debate and argue about the matter. No, when we will unite on the name of Allah Ta'ala. This is extremely important that this comes into us. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand this. And the zikr of Allah Ta'ala is such that it will help us to save us from all types of sin. Today we are getting involved in all types of sin. And one person just told me, when they went to Raivin, Maulana Ihsan Sahib said, whenever a person comes here, he comes with 3 enemies. One is nafs is our enemy, our inside. One is shaitan is our enemy. And one is the mobile phone, the cell phone. So he asked, who of you got cell phones? The Amir was such, mashallah, that he had trained and told, and all young people, students, young people, he told them, if you come with me, no cell phone. Maulana Ihsan was shocked and very happy that, mashallah, here's a jamaat with no cell phone. And today we believe that we can't do without the cell phone. Allahu Akbar. One youngster told his parents or somebody that, how did you people manage without a cell phone? Hey, how did you live without a cell phone? He said that, I can't understand how you manage without namaz in your life. How you manage without tilawat of Quran Sharif in your life. How you manage without the zikr of Allah. Hey, as we can't, the youngsters can't understand how they lived without the cell phone. Really, it is a sad time that how are we living without namaz, without zikr, etc. So these things we have to bring and imbibe within ourselves. May Allah Ta'ala bless us and make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala very common. And our worst enemy is not any country, is not any nation. Our worst enemy are our own sins. The sins that we commit, those are our enemies. And to save ourselves from sin is also the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. It saves us, it is such a protection for a person. But when we do it regularly, continuously, punctually, and with feeling, not just one day we made zikr and then for a long day no zikr. One day we read some Quran Sharif, for a long time we didn't read. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gives a beautiful example for us to understand that how terrible sins are. He says there was a young man who got married, young man, about 20, 25, he got married, but every night he was wetting the bed, urinating in the bed. Now, very bad condition. So the wife said, what's wrong with you? Small children who are born, 1 year, 6 months, they all the time, we have to put napkins and that, they mess, etc. But you're a grown-up man. He says, actually what happens, when I sleep, Shaitan comes to me in my dream. And he takes me for a long walk. And after a long time, every person needs to go toilet after some hours. So I tell him, I need to go to a toilet. Then he shows me a very ultra-modern hygienic toilet. And he shows me, go and do your thing. But it's all in the bed, in the dream. So I do it. And then in the morning, this is what I find. So the wife says, oh, Shaitan is such a good friend of yours. He comes every night and he takes you for a walk. You know how poor we are. We haven't got money. Tell him, what is he letting you mess the bed like this? Tell him that he must show you where money is kept. Shaitan is a jinn. And the jinnat know where all the money is kept, all the treasure. So he says, yeah, bright idea you gave me. So that night Shaitan came in his dream. He said, my wife said, you must show me where money is. What are you making me urinate in the bed every night? So he said, no problem. Come, I'll take you immediately. He took him to a place where there was a treasure box, lot of money, jewelry, diamonds, everything. And he was very excited and it was very happy. He went and picked it up. He couldn't pick it up. Instead of number one, he made number two. So in the morning, his wife asked, now what is this? I told you to bring money. And you were just urinating first. Now you did even worse here. So he explained what happened. She said, rather just do what you were doing before. Okay? So this perhaps many of us will remember, but take the lesson. That is important. May Allah put that in me also to understand, in all of us. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explains, then more worse than urine and stool. If you do it in the toilet, flush it away, it's gone. You do it in bed, how bad is it? And worse than that are the sins that we commit. And today we enjoy committing sins. Who can enjoy that we have messed the bed with urine and stool? We made a mess in the bed. Who can enjoy that? Your wife will get tired of you. You will get tired of yourself. But today we enjoy committing sins. Sins are even more worse than that. So the way to prevent ourselves is to be regular with the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And this is the words of the experts in this field. We go in Jamaat also. How many of us we feel? We go in the Khanqah, we go for Umrah. But we come back, we say, now everything. Ramzan we spent. We made Atikaf, whole 30 days. We were feeling, we were on a high at Ramzan, each day. But we say, in 1 week's time, I fell right down again. Everything I went right, base, bottom again. Everything got destroyed. Because of the lack of the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. But unfortunately, Shaitan doesn't let it penetrate our thick skulls. And we feel zikr is not important. It's a by-the-way thing. One beautiful example, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gives, and inshallah I'll complete on that. He says in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ 10 beautiful qualities of the Muslims have been described. And at the end, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. And those who remember Allah Ta'ala in abundance, the man also and the woman also. Allah Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, only yeah, for the last 10th quality of zikr, Allah used the word kathiran. And the most command which has come in the Quran is for zikr and for taqwa. And for zikr, almost everywhere it is zikr and kathira, zikr in abundance. So he says, this is like you have a beautiful garden. Somebody has come to visit you, your family, friends, and you show them your garden. Look at these daffodils here, how they are growing. Look at this pond here, and the water lilies on the pond. Look at this vine here. Look at these flowers. That person gets amazed, middle of winter, and you have got such a green, lush garden. How you have such a beautiful garden? He says, I've got very good water. I've got plenty of water, and my irrigation system is very good. That is the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. When we'll have the zikr of Allah, all our namaz will be such that people will envy that namaz. The malaika will envy that namaz. Our tilawat of Quran Sharif, our roza, our going out in the path of Allah, people will get hidayat, one left, right and center. Today we find, forget other people getting hidayat, we fighting in the jamaat. Hey, no, if we have the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, our hearts will be united. We'll have this beautiful garden. And who doesn't like a beautiful garden? Whoever it is, every person loves a beautiful garden. This will all come with the zikr of Allah ta'ala. Have you understood, inshallah? If not, then we speak again now. So what have we understood? Are we going to make zikr, inshallah? So inshallah, I will also sit here and we all complete our zikr together now. Our three tasbihs, and very valuable each tasbih. 100 times La ilaha illallah every day. And in between, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One little addition, there are plenty, but one little. When we say La ilaha, then think in your mind, from my heart, I'm taking out everything besides Allah Ta'ala. Illallah, I'm putting only Allah in my heart. And all of us know we've got weaknesses. I've got the weakness of anger, for example. So with La ilaha, I'm taking out anger from my heart. And with illallah, I'm putting to be in control, to be mild, to be patient, to have tolerance. I'm putting that in my heart. I've got pride in my heart. And with La ilaha, I take out the pride. With illallah, I'm putting humility. Do this regularly and you will see the changes will come in us. The third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. What a valuable, that the kalima la ilaha illallah outweighs the whole world, the seven skies and the seven earth. How valuable, isn't it? We'll realize it on Qiyamah Day. May Allah make that we realize it now. And this Subhanallah, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, already over 1400 years ago, gave us a 3-in-1 solution to purify the heart. Before, we all perhaps still remember, perhaps the younger people don't remember, whenever we wanted to clean a place, the car, the floor of the kitchen, the house, the stove, then we had to do three things. First, we had to scrub it. Then we had to put polish. Then we had to shine it. So it was a procedure. But now, they took out a polish which is called 3-in-1. You just put that one polish, it cleans also, it polishes also, it shines also. But that is for the toilet, that is for the floor, that is for the car. Now, Allah Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a 3-in-1 for the heart. Subhanallah, when we say, we are purifying the heart. And Allah purifies the heart when we say Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, we are polishing the heart. And Allah polishes the heart. There isn't time to go in the details. Allahu Akbar. Now Allah shines the heart. Now that heart which is clean, that heart which has been polished on top, that heart which is shining like that, and now the nur of Allah Ta'ala comes. Make one elan after this and see the effect of that elan. Make one gush and now see the effect when you are giving da'wah. Now speak to your wife, speak to your children. We say they don't listen, but we do what we have to do first. One alim in Syria used to have tafsir lessons after Fajr. And the people should come from far away from his place. The whole masjid should get full. The streets around the masjid should get full. And the other ulama say, we study the kitabs, tafsir kitabs so much, but people don't come to our majlis like this. He says, you the kitabs, you study, I study also. But the difference is, I read 15 juz, 15 suparas of Quran in my tahajjud namaz. And then I come in sit here. So that when we have that inside of us, then see the effect on the people. But when we haven't got anything to offer, how is it going to come to others? And as I said, this is a muzakara. It's for me also. It's for everyone also. One sheikh in his majlis, the people were very, very great respect. Adab they had. They used to be quiet. They used to listen to him. One day it so happened, they are all making a noise. They are talking. The servant, the khadim of the sheikh, he was surprised. This never happens. How come this has happened today? So the sheikh pointed to his knees. So he asked, what about the knees? He says, my knees are paining a lot. And last night, because of the pain in my knees, I couldn't complete my wazifas and my zikr. The effect of it was on the people there. Today we blame the people, that the people did no response. They don't make nusrat. There is nothing. It is what we are. When we have got those qualities, Allah will send the nusrat. And the people can't make our nusrat. People can't listen to us. It all comes from Allah Ta'ala. When we have got those qualities, so this inside, the ruh is most important. We are only working on the outside. We are going jamaat, we are doing our gasht, we are doing our 3 days, our 40 days. But each one of us ask ourselves, how many of us are completing our zikr regularly? How many of us are reading Quran Sharif? Myself, I have to ask. When we were in jamaat, our Amir should ask, tell us that I completed my Quran Sharif. Who else has completed? He shouldn't let them speak, but he just made us to understand. I have read my tasbih, but still my one tasbih is left. I have to complete it. Who else have completed their tasbih? If we will do this regularly, then we will see a great change will come in our lives, in the whole ummah's life. So now I will also sit and make my zikr. You also sit and make your zikr. There is not the time to go out of the majma now. Stay here. Then at the end, I will give you 2 gifts. And we will make a short dua. After that, do your infiradi dua. Anyone needs wuzu, go for wuzu. We will give you enough time. But then now, nobody move. Let us make our zikr. Hey, that is very, very important. Read 100 times or as many as we can. La ilaha illallah. In between Muhammadur Rasulullah. 3rd kalima also read. And then read our Durood Sharif Salawat also. So inshallah all of us sit where we are and let us make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala.